We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Tuesday. It is April 4th. It's 2023. We have 11 baseball games to talk about here on today's podcast. If you're hanging out with us live on YouTube, what's up? Happy Monday night. Hopefully baseball slate is going well for you. Joined today by my buddy Keith Eister, Eyes819. Keith, what's happening, my friend?
Not too much. Hunter Brown chalk did not work out so well on Monday night. Couldn't get past Detroit. He didn't do terribly, but they scored a couple runs on him. He missed his K prop by one. He had a chance to get it right at the end. Got a check swing, and it was called ball four instead of strike three. So he missed his K prop. Didn't quite perform it well enough for DFS. The Tigers were beating the Astros for a good while there. The Astros have come back a little bit now, but I know you had some good calls. You were on Rasmussen pretty heavy. He came out looking awesome. The Rays are just so good at developing pitchers, man.
And the Washington lineup is atrocious.
Yes, that too.
that doesn't hurt. I mean, they're not good, man. This is going to be a team. We're going to talk about the Tigers a lot, but like we should be talking about Washington a lot. I know. So a lot of stuff that I was on the podcast yesterday doing well. Pittsburgh, Kansas City, was on Kansas City on the podcast last night, and I went from like fully stacking Kansas City, and then like when the lineup came out and Perez wasn't in the lineup, using them as like secondary and like one off pieces, and it really kind of worked out. So yeah, I mean, I have some really live teams. You know, I were talking about it pre-show, but I mean, it's really going to depend on like what Plesac does. I have some Arizona and some Seattle bats here. So going to be interesting to see how it kind of shapes up over the podcast. But hey, I'm happy. Like you're always happy. Like when you're at the like end of rotations and you can get a lot right. When you're looking at like 3, 4, 5, you know, starters and you're like, all right, this is a good start to the season when you're looking at this end of it. So, I mean, that's, you know, where my head goes initially. Like, I want to win money. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, I mean, the Braves, they look like they look stellar. Our 10-1, preseason bet on the Braves looking pretty good, Keith.
Indeed.
One weekend into the season, they look good.
And they're not even healthy. Like, they've got some pitching that's coming back too. Like, just amazing team.
All right, let's jump in and get started here. Philadelphia at New York. We got the Phillies and the Yankees. We got Strom against Herman. Any interest here in Matt Strom?
Worked out of the bullpen a lot of last year. Tough matchup going into Yankee Stadium against a powerful Yankees offense. The price is intriguing. It is a weird dynamic of a slate where we have a lot of number one starters and we have a lot of number five starters. I don't think I'm going to end up going down this low. Talented pitcher, had a good year out of the bullpen. Just I don't think he's stretched out enough. They weren't planning on him starting. They dealt with some injuries in spring training, which kind of forced him into the rotation. So I can't imagine he goes too deep here. And then add in the tough matchup in Yankee Stadium. Probably a pass for me, but I'm definitely intrigued to see what he looks like in the rotation again.
Yeah, I mean, worked out of the bullpen last season with the Red Sox. Really cheap, but I don't know if we necessarily are going to need him today. And he's just facing a juggernaut of like a right-handed heavy power offense. So, you know, Judge, Stanton, Torres, they're going to – I mean, LeMahieu has always been really good against left-handed pitching. You would think Higgs is behind the plate. So Donaldson. I would assume they find a spot for Donaldson in this lineup. So enough righties that – and like Strom's numbers last season are out of the bullpen. I mean, it's a completely different, you know, scenario pitching, you know, 5-6 innings instead of one. Like you can go out and you can ramp up and you can – throw as hard as you want, and you can't do that for 5 or 6.
I mean, innings. You look at a 27% K rate and a Yankees team that strikes out quite a bit, and for 5,500, and you're like, maybe. But that's a great point. Like, there's no guarantee his strikeout rate's going to be around 27% again, moving back to the rotation and working over 4 or 5 innings rather than one inning at a time.
Yeah, the last season that he started was 2019 with San Diego. And he had a 9.26 K per nine with a 24% K rate. So I would assume, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be a long-term starter. I think he's going to be a bullpen guy and they're just kind of maybe hoping they get 4 innings out of him here, but talented pitcher, good curveball, good fastball. But I think this is a tough matchup. I'm going to pass. We have plenty of pitching today, No, not short of pitching today by any means. So let's go to Domingo Herman on the other side of this game. 7,700 favorited in this game. Obviously, I think it's more of the Yankees being favorited than him. But any interest here in Herman?
Not a ton. I think he's playable for sure. Not a massive strikeout rate. And Philly's got a pretty good offense. Obviously, missing a couple pieces with the Hoskins injury. And Harper still hasn't made it back. But you still got Schwarber there, Turner there. He just doesn't strike enough guys out. Probably not getting there. Like you said, there's a lot of options on the board today. Several number one starters. In this range, Mats is really intriguing to me. Kikuchi, we're going to talk about. I don't know what to do with him quite yet. But yeah, I think I would definitely play Mats over him. I probably am not getting to Herman today.
Yeah, so I'm just a little concern here. The last time he threw like in game action was March 17th. So he had a big break. I know he's thrown some like simulated bullpen stuff. But man, he got shellacked against the Tigers in his last spring training outing. 7 earned runs, 4 home runs against Detroit. Not what you want to see for Domingo Herman. And I mean, the Philly lineup is going to be hit or miss with some pieces out of it right now, but I mean, he's just not a huge strikeout guy. He is better against righties. So if they do run out a lot of righties here, maybe, but I think this would be lineup based more than anything else. But I think at the end of the day, I'm not going to have a ton of interest in Herman here. So Philly bats, any interest here in the Phillies?
You can certainly play Schwarber with the short porch in Yankee Stadium. Herman is susceptible to the long ball as well. I actually quite like Schwarber. Big price, but big time power as well. I think you can look for cheap home runs here too. And hunting lefty power is the way to go. Brandon Marsh at 2,700. I think you can take a shot and try to find a cheap home run there. If Jake Cave cracks the lineup, potentially. I don't know that I'm stacking him. Herman is a capable pitcher, and the Yankees bullpen is really good. I don't know what the weather looks like. If the wind were to be blowing out in one direction or the other, particularly if we got wind to right, I might have more interest. But just a little bit of a watered down lineup. I really like Schwarber, but that's really the only piece. Bryson Stott, maybe. I will say some of these pieces are pretty cheap. And Derek Hall is a great option for a cheap home run as well. This lefty power, I am interested. Maybe you can make that a mini stack.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably end up more with Hall on FanDuel, where you can use like two first basemans. He is cheap on DraftKings at 2.6K. And I mean, some of the pitching that we are going to like today, you're going to have to pay up for a little bit, like second time through. And now we're starting to see price increases, assuming that we're going to see pitch counts go up a little bit. So, I mean, that is somewhat of a little bit of a concern. But overall, I think for me, I want the left-handed power bats. Just, I mean, whether that be a mini stack, whether it be one-offs, I want to target the left-handed power bats for Philadelphia. Schwarber, Hall, Marsh. You mentioned Cave if he's in the lineup, Stubbs if he's in the lineup. So some pieces here. Yankees bats. I don't know what to expect from Matt Strom. I don't expect him to go too deep into the game, I think is a good kind of assumption here. So I don't mind looking at like a Yankees stack. You know, I liked them a lot yesterday and it worked out, but I mean, this game's in Yankee Stadium. The Phillies bullpen is, I think they're going to be hit or miss all year. What are your thoughts when it comes to the Yankees bats?
Yeah, I'm interested, and I agree with you that I don't think Strom is going very deep here, and that's going to cause the Phillies, unless they have somebody to piggyback, which I'm not sure. We're getting into the front end of the bullpen regardless. Like if Strom goes more than four innings, I'd be pretty surprised. So I think you get some pretty weak middle relief. Strom making the move to the rotation after pitching out of the bullpen, there's uncertainty there. So I really like the Yankees. Judge is obviously an awesome option. Stanton, big time power. Glaber's price is up there, but we saw him homer on Monday night. Certainly don't mind him. We know he has power at a really weak second base position. So I do like that. Rizzo is fine. Lefty lefty, completely good to play that. Donaldson's cheap, 3,200. And Volpe is a guy that's going to run a ton. He's got a couple, maybe three stolen bases already this season. Every time that guy gets on, he's just going to run, I think. So very interested in Volpe at shortstop. Yeah, I love the Yankees in the spot.
All right, cruising along. We got Tampa Bay at Washington. This game has a 9 total, and the Rays are a 180 favorite. Fleming and Chad Kuhl facing off here. Josh Fleming's cheap. The Washington Nationals are not good. So, I mean, this is an interesting spot. He threw 72 pitches in his last spring outing, which I think is, I mean, Tampa has been very, very strict on not really pushing guys in the first like time through here. Like Rasmussen was cruising. What did he throw? Like 60 something pitches? Like,
I think. Yep.
Yeah. Like, so, I mean, when you're looking at that kind of stuff, you're like, you know, that's likely going to be the thing here. So, did Plesic really just give up a 3-run home run to Jace Peterson? Sorry, sidetracked. But yeah, I mean, so overall, I have interest in Fleming at his price as like a cheaper SP2. They have a little bit of power on the right side, but it's still not enough. There's still a lot of strikeouts here. Like Fleming, way better against lefties. And like we've seen already, like Washington can't platoon out all these lefties. So he's going to get a couple lefties in this lineup too. So I think at his price, assuming he gets 80 to 85 pitches, I think he's playable today. I just don't know if you're going to need him. I mean, that's my biggest thing.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. And it has as much to do with what we've just seen out of Jeffrey Springs and Drew Rasmussen, to be honest. Like neither one of them were huge strikeout guys. Like Springs lived in like the 25% strikeout range. And Rasmussen was even lower than that, like 22%. And we just saw those guys just mow down this lineup like crazy. Springs ended with 12 strikeouts, I think. Rasmussen had 7 in 5 innings or 6 innings, extremely efficient. Like the Rays just know how to develop pitching. So I'm intrigued by what Fleming looks like here. 6,100 against a really weak lineup. I'm intrigued. Like you said, I don't know if we need it today, but if I'm going cheap, he's probably the guy.
Yeah, we're at that point of the season already where we have a lot of value bats wise still.
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't caught up price wise on some of these guys. I can tell you one thing. I'm not playing Chad Kuhl on the other side of this game. I don't even need to look into his spring training stuff. I didn't, and I'm not going to. Chad Kuhl is someone that has a low strikeout rate. He gives up a lot of hard contact to both sides of the plate. 45.6% last season. Tampa on paper isn't great, but Tampa as a team, they're hitting. So I think you have to kind of overlook a down year for this Tampa offense and just not play Chad Kuhl here.
Yeah, I have no interest in Chad Kuhl.
All right, Tampa bats. Brandon Lau is too cheap. He's 3,400. He's going to be one of the guys that I'm going to play a bunch today, whether it be one-offs or getting a mini stack going for Tampa with him and Franco, Rosarina. Like, there's plenty of pieces here. And, I mean, maybe I like Tampa as a stack more than, like, an initial thought just because, like, you can probably play two top-end starters with Tampa stack because of how cheap they are.
Yeah, completely agree with Lau. Way underpriced. He's should be above 4K. He's 3,400 on DraftKings. I prefer lefties against Kuhl. Like you said, he does give up power to both sides, though. So certainly wouldn't not play a righty or anything. But Wander Franco would be my second look because of that reason. Arozarena's price is up there, but he's a power speed guy. He can certainly pay it off. I have some interest in the stack here. Kuhl is a guy who struggles with command too. So if he just doesn't have it that day, he might be done in one or two innings. And then you have a really, really bad Washington bullpen behind him. Like, this is like Washington's going to lose close to 100 games this year, I think. Like, they're just a really bad team. I have a lot of interest in Tampa as well.
Washington bats. I mean, Fleming is someone that can get touched up from time to time. I struggle here. They're not good. I mean, this lineup is just one you look at and you're like, where am I going to get exposure here? I mean, Meneses at 4,600 was really good against left-handed pitching in the sample size that we saw him. But I mean, do I really want to pay $4,600 for a one-off? Maybe. Lane Thomas, but I just struggle with Washington. It's just going to be a thing all year for me.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Meneses as the target against a lefty, but again, that price is still weirdly inflated. Don't love it. Cheap guy, Candelario is 2,900. He had a good game Monday night. I believe Fleming has slightly reverse splits. Candelario is a switch hitter anyway, so that doesn't matter. Maybe Stone Garrett for a cheap home run, just a cheap outfielder. But yeah, it's simply looking for a home run here. I'm not stacking against Fleming or the very good Rays bullpen.
Pittsburgh at Boston. This game is currently at a 9 total. The Red Sox are a 148 favorite. We got Contreras against Pavetta. All right, we'll go Contreras first. Any interest here in Ronzi Contreras?
A guy I chased a bunch last year. I think there's massive potential here. If he takes a step forward, this is a really good pitcher. The stuff is there. The command was not quite there last year, but he did show flashes of big-time upside. I think you can take a shot here. I'll definitely want to check on the weather. This game looked like it was going nuclear Monday night. Just right out of the gate, there was like 4 home runs in the first 2 innings. It did slow down a little bit, but like being in Fenway Park is not a spot I love. And if there's wind blowing out, then I'm going to have even more hesitation. Love the pitcher. Not sure it's the right spot.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Price is nice. I mean, the Red Sox lineup is beatable. Well, I mean, on paper, they're beatable. They keep hitting. I don't know what to think as a Red Sox fan for what it's worth. I don't know. I mean, so like this guy is a guy that does struggle with like fly balls and hard contact. You know, he has some strikeout upside. The underlining numbers say that like he was always a little unlucky. It's so early in the season and this lineup is actually solid. You know, they have some power. They have some guys that get on base and this game's in Fenway and we're just seeing like massive runs scored. It seems like every night in Fenway right now. So I don't think I'm playing Contreras. Like if I had to compare Contreras with everybody in this range, it's a little interesting on that aspect of things. But I mean, I think I still prefer like going down to Fleming before I would play Contreras, but I understand why people would take some shots here on Contreras. Nick Pivetta on the other side of this game. If you've ever listened to me talk baseball on this podcast, you will understand that I still don't understand why the Red Sox brought Pivetta in. It made zero sense to bring a fly ball into Fenway, fly ball pitcher into Fenway. Decent strikeout stuff. He's always had really decent strikeout stuff. He's just a fly ball pitcher. His xFIP's high. He doesn't generate a lot of swinging strikes, so I don't think I'm playing Pivetta today.
No, I'm not either. If he was on Monday night slate, I think you could have talked me into a little bit of exposure just because he does have the strikeout capabilities that nobody on Monday night had. On this Tuesday slate, there's no need to do it.
How dare you? Rasmussen had like 7 Ks. Watch out. Don't mess with my guy. Please act not doing well. Not doing well. That's going to hurt. That's going to hurt. I had some good teams with Plesic left. That's going to hurt. Anyway, not to get sidetracked too much here. I like Pittsburgh again. You know, the team that I was very heavy on yesterday, I think this is a great spot to go back to the well on them. They're hitting. They're hitting to start the season. This is a new look like Pittsburgh lineup. There's some cheap bats in this lineup. I don't know if I full stack them, but I'm definitely going to have some at least three-man stacks of Pittsburgh against Pivetta with his home run troubles, with his fly ball troubles. I mean, and he's someone that can tend to struggle with command from time to time. So I think Pittsburgh is a good at least three-man stack here, and I probably wouldn't talk you off of five-man stacking them because outside of Reynolds and Cruz, I think everybody else that you're going to end up playing here is under 4K. I don't know how much McCutcheon I really end up on at 4,200, so...
Yeah, I completely agree. I like Pittsburgh a good amount here. It's Reynolds and Cruz and then a bunch of value bats. Bay has some speed. He can fill a second base position that's typically weak. I know we love Lau, but outside of Lau, there's not a ton of great options. Cheap power in somebody like Carlos Santana or G-Man Choi, depending on who's in the lineup. Maybe both of them are. Cheap outfielders in Smith and Jigba or Jack Sawinski, like they're all like 2,200 to 2,500, 2,800 for Bay, like just really cheap. And it makes paying 5,600 for O'Neill Cruz pretty easy because if two of your pieces are 5K and three of them are 3K, that's still a pretty affordable stack.
Yeah, I ended up, you know, I ended up stacking Pittsburgh quite a bit on Monday night in like Jigba. At 2,200 hitting fifth or six, was it six? He hit six, I think. And it just, He ended up making his way into a lot of my lineups and it kind of worked out. So, I mean, he, from everything that I've read about him, like from like prospect, he has raw power. I mean, he's just got to shape it a little bit, I think is, you know, the best way to say it. The Boston side of this game, I mean, again, like, I think there's going to be runs scored here. The one thing that I think we should note is like, this is two of the worst potential bad bullpens in baseball. Like Pittsburgh is projected to be like a bottom five bullpen. And I know the Red Sox don't project to be that low, but I mean, the eye test suggests that like this bullpen's not going to be top 10 to me, where some places have it ranked. But I think this is a spot we're looking at stacks in this game, because I mean, there's going to be plenty of opportunity late in this game too.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not afraid of picking on Contreras necessarily either. I think he's really good, and he's ultimately going to be like a number two, number three starter. But he has not shown to be that just yet. Struggles with the command. Like when you leave a fastball over the middle of the plate, I don't care how hard you throw, it's going to get hit over the fence in the majors. Boston is a lineup that sets up really well. A lot of lefties here. Love Devers again. Love Yoshida. Like that signing was not widely appreciated, but dude looks legit. He's been hitting.
We're in Verdugo. A rebuilding year. That's anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I get the timeline doesn't necessarily work out, but then they extended Devers too, so now you've got a couple long term pieces. Like I get it. That's kind of the same way the Cubs have built too. Like they signed some pieces before they were really ready to, but they just had such a lack of talent that you got to start acquiring some at some point. But anyway, a little tangent there. Moving on. Tristan Casas is probably the guy I've rostered more than anyone else so far this year. He homered Monday night. He's still 2,500, big time power bat, for really cheap. Duvall has had a hot start. I definitely prefer the lefties, but Duvall, Turner are fine. But Devers, Yoshida is definitely how I'm starting, and Casas.
Casas is too cheap still. Yeah. I mean, he's extremely talented at the plate. We'll see if he can do it for a course of the season, but I think he's very talented, and he's someone that just the price is nice. We got Blue Jays and Royals. 9.5 total in this game. I mean, Vegas and books and just everywhere kind of expecting runs to be scored in this one. Blue Jays, a 156 favorite. Bubich against Yusei Kikuchi. We'll go to Kikuchi. Do you have any interest in him in this spot?
So Kikuchi has been absolutely nails in spring training, and I don't know what to make of it. Dude has like 29 strikeouts in 16 innings. I have no idea if that's carrying over, but he's 6,700 facing a Kansas City team that's not very good. Like there's a chance we get wind blowing out here, and that takes me off of him because he is an extreme fly ball guy. He's also a dude that's thrown 95 and shown big time strikeout ability at times with the Mariners. He's always struggled with his control, and he hasn't quite put it together since coming over. But I'm intrigued by what he's doing in spring training. I have to admit.
Yeah, what the heck?
You just looked at his spring numbers?
Yeah, I'm looking into it, man. Yeah, I mean,
like he throws, I don't know what to make of 96 with a pretty good slider. Like,
yeah, I mean, and he threw 88 pitches. You know, maybe he's worth a look in tournaments. I mean, the top end of this lineup's good, right? Like, at the end of the day, it's good. It's not great. It's good, though. I mean, they have some pieces in here that are going to be good, especially against left-handed pitching. So I kind of want to see what the lineup looks like in weather, but I'm not ruling out Kikuchi yet. I mean, he had a 27% K rate last season. It's not like the strikeouts are ever the thing. It's when he can't find the strike zone and walks four guys.
Right.
So maybe Kikuchi is just someone we kind of sit and wait and see projected ownership, who's the umpire of the game, stuff like that. I mean, just your everyday morning, afternoon baseball research kind of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, on the other side of this game, I was very high on Brady Singer by the end of yesterday. And I mean, it was okay. It won bad inning and it happened to be his last inning. I will say with certainty, though, I have zero interest whatsoever in Bubich in this spot.
Same. Toronto might be the top stack on the slate.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great spot. Obviously, high total, a really high implied team total here, and just so much right-handed power against a guy that doesn't have big strikeout stuff. He doesn't generate a lot of swinging strikes. So I think this is a great spot to fade Bubich and get some Toronto bats. They really haven't had that like blow-up game yet. I think this is a spot we could see Toronto hang a crooked number on the scoreboard.
Yeah, absolutely. It is worth noting Bubich does have reverse splits, but I don't care. Like the Toronto righties are just loaded with power. Vlad, Springer, Bichette are all absolutely amazing. The lefties are not good. Like, if Varsho's in the lineup, he's 3,600. I wouldn't talk you out of it, but he, just for what it's worth, he doesn't have great numbers against lefties so far in his career. I assume Kirk DHs and Jansen catches, like, probably both catchers in the lineup. They're both cheap. Both have been very good against lefties. Like, this Toronto lineup, they have the ability to go so right-handed. Like, they're just set up really well here. Again, keep an eye on the weather. I don't know what the wind's going to do, but I know strong winds have been moving across the country. So if we get – and Kansas City is one of the warmer places in the country right now as well. So, like, this could be great hitting weather with a pretty bad lefty against a really powerful right-handed heavy team.
I can also say with certainty that I don't think the weather is going to affect my decision here too much. I'm going to have plenty of exposure to the Toronto bats in the spot. Do you have any interest in the Kansas City bats at all?
Yeah, I do. As good as Kikuchi has been in spring training, he's still a guy who can absolutely get torched. The command can leave him. The fastball can be straight, and he can leave it over the plate. I think Kansas City, like I talked about this with Cleveland on Crunch Time on Monday night, like teams that are not power-oriented but like have a lot of speed on their team are much more stackable now than they were last year. Guys like Bobby Witt Jr. have a ton more value. We saw Nicky Lopez have a huge game for Kansas City on Monday night. Like Bobby Witt's a fantastic play. Sal Perez is a fantastic play. Matt Duffy probably cracks the lineup. He's 2,800. There's certain Dozier has power for 2,500. There's certainly some cheap options here that can help you fit in Bobby Witt and Sal Perez, because those are the two I really want.
All right, cruising along. We got Mets and Brewers facing off in this one. Scherzer against Wade Miley. 8 total in this game, and the Mets are a 164 favorite. Any interest here in good old Max Scherzer?
Why, of course. I don't think Milwaukee's very good, has an offense. There's a lot of strikeouts in the lineup. Bit of a disappointment on opening day. Everyone was talking about his 100-pitch spring training start with 11 Ks, and he threw 86 or 87 pitches, I think, in the opener.
He labored through those pitches, too. It was not a good start.
Yeah, he got off to a good start and then just kind of slowed down for whatever reason. I'm not concerned. I think Max has plenty left in the tank. I'm not really threatened by Milwaukee as an offense. Like, there's some pieces there with some power. Could he give up a home run or two? Sure. But he could also strike out 10 here in the spot.
Yeah. I mean, this is a guy with 30% K rate last season. There's plenty of strikeouts in this lineup. I have a hard time not having interest in Max Scherzer here. And like you said, I know he only threw, it was like 86 pitches or whatever. I think it was 91 pitches, but, thought it was 91 pitches, but anyway, I think 91,
you're right.
Yeah, so I mean, and gosh, those weren't good. Those weren't 91 good pitches. So I think if he can, you know, maybe, I mean, he got off to a strong start. He was just laboring a little bit. So, yep. Yeah, I mean, I think Max Scherzer is in a great spot. It's just, it's price more than anything else. But yeah, I think he's a top end pitcher on today's slate. Wade Miley, on the other side of this game, Miley's a low strikeout guy, 17%. He kind of is built nowadays just generating ground balls and trying not to get blown up. Not a high upside guy, and the fact that he's 8,100 is kind of funny. So no interest for me on Wade Miley today.
Yeah, agree. I was laughing at that price also when I saw it.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Against the Mets, like what? It's not even a good matchup.
I mean, the Mets are definitely a team that's better against right-handed pitching than they are against left-handed pitching, but they can still platoon a lot of guys in and out of this lineup. So, yeah, just no interest for me in Miley. He's just a low strikeout guy. Any interest in the Mets bats here?
I want some fly ball hitters here for sure. Miley is a guy, like you said, trying to keep it on the ground, so give me a guy that can elevate. There's a pretty good one on this Mets team. The Polar Bear, fantastic spot for him. 42% fly ball rate last year. I think he makes for a phenomenal one-off. I think you could find a couple of pieces to go with him too. Canna, I think, it is in a pretty good spot here. not as, as heavy of a fly ball rate. I'm pulling that up on the fly. That's just off memory. Yeah. Only a 32% fly ball rate for Cannon last year. So that's not ideal. Like, he's probably going to hit the ball on the ground a couple of times. But Alonso, I think, is an amazing target. Marte, another ground ball guy, don't really love. So it's probably just a Pete Alonso one-off for me, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, that was my initial thought as well. Pete Alonso one-off. And it's not like the Mets are cheap either. That's the problem. Like, if you're stacking Mets, you're paying down at least one pitcher spot. So, yeah, just I struggle with, like, the overall price and upside kind of thing. But I think that if you're looking at New York, Marte, Lindor, Alonso would be the three that I'd build around if I was going to stack them. The Milwaukee side, I mean, Max gives up home runs from time to time for sure. Definitely a fly ball pitcher. A lot of hard contact when he does get hit. I don't think it's the craziest thing to, like, one off a Yelich or a Tellis or a Winker, but I would only do that in large field tournaments that I'm not playing Max on the team.
Yep, completely agree. Tellez and Winker for cheap. Yelich just is not a power hitter anymore. The back injury really sapped a lot of power, so I'll save the money. I'd rather go down to Tellez or Winker. I don't need to play more than one of them in a lineup. I'm hoping they run into a home run or two for a value price, and I'm happy with that.
Yeah, in my head, like, I always just think of Yelich anytime he's facing a fly ball guy, because, I mean, he's just a huge ground ball guy, and he's hit fly ball pitchers well throughout his career. But, yeah, you're not wrong. We've seen his power numbers take a huge dip since the back. Atlanta at St. Louis. We got a 8.5 total in this game. The Cardinals, a 136 favorite. We got Dylan Dodd going up against Steven Matz. Any interest here in Dodd?
I don't think so. Not against this really potent Cardinals team. Dodd is not a top prospect. He's a guy similar to Schuster, who we saw start the other day for them. Just more of a control ground ball lefty than he is a strikeout guy. Like, this Cardinals team is lethal. I'm not playing a guy making it in his major league debut against this Cardinals team.
They're so right-handed heavy, and he's not going to blow the ball by anybody. He kind of – his upside is generated by his command. He has above-average command. Everything I've read about him, above-average command. Everything I've read also is, like, he's not major league ready. So I was a little shocked to see him up making the start here. I think it's more of just kind of giving these guys an extra day and, you know – seeing what happens. But I mean, Max Fried getting hurt is huge for this team. You know, can Dodd eat up, you know, 4, 5, 6 innings for a few starts? I think Fried's going to be out a month or so. Anytime you hear, like, it was a hamstring, right?
Yep.
Hamstring for pitchers are awful. It hurts, man. You generate so much of your power when you're pitching by your legs and like how your rotation of your hips and stuff work. So, yeah, I mean, I think that if he can get a couple good, if they can get a couple good innings out of Dodd, it's just a bad spot. It's a bad spot. If this was a spot where he had like an extreme pitcher's umpire and he wasn't facing like a full right-handed heavy team, I'd probably have some interest because he is someone that paints the corners. He's shown a huge swinging strike rate in the minors because of being of his command. But yeah, I think this is a terrible spot for him. And then Steven Matz on the other side, I think this is a terrible spot for him too. This is a tough, tough team, especially against left-handed pitching. And Steven Matz isn't going to go out there and blow the ball by anybody either. So I think this is just a game I'm going to avoid the pitching.
So I do have a little bit of interest in Steven Matz. It's not comfortable interest, but it is. It depends on if I'm playing Kikuchi or not. I love targeting guys with upside in the 6 and 7K range. If I'm playing Kikuchi, I probably don't need Matz. It's a terrible matchup, like you said. But looking at his numbers last year, he had a really solid year for St. Louis. 26% K rate, and his walk rate was under 5. Like, those are really, really solid numbers. Atlanta has strikeouts in the lineup also. I will play both sides of it. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to stack Atlanta also, but I might take a little sprinkle of Matz.
Yeah, I mean, he did. He had a solid season last year. It was a very small season. I think he only threw
most of it, but
like 45, 48 innings or something like that. Steven Matz is a good pitcher. I'm not saying that he's a bad pitcher. This is a tough spot. This is a tough spot for any pitcher. And his last full season in the bigs where he was starting, he had a 22% K rate. So, I mean, he had a 26% K rate last year. He worked out of the bullpen towards the, like, down the stretch last year too. So I have to look into it to see like how inflated some of his strikeout numbers were, but I mean, he had multiple games with like 6 and 7 strikeouts last year. So I don't want to say like all of his strikeouts came working out of the bullpen, because he really only worked out of the bullpen, if I remember correctly, like 4 or 5 times. He started most of his outings last year, but
were using Hicks as an opener at that point too. So it was like he was piggybacking off an opener when he
was. No, he was only throwing one inning. So when he got hurt in May again, so he missed time from May to like September, and then when he came back, he was only throwing like one inning outings. So, and then like, yeah, he was just strictly working out of the bullpen down the stretch in September and October. But I don't know if that was like a product of getting hurt, because he was out. I think I'm almost positive he was out from like May until like September. I think he came back for maybe one start in July. I looked this up earlier and I just forgot, but I think he came back for one start in July, and then went back out for another like month and a half, 2 months. It was like a stretch where he only pitched like one game over like 3 or 4 months, if I remember correctly. So I don't know. I didn't even look. I should have looked into his spring training stuff, but I didn't. I didn't have a lot of interest. So I probably should have, and I'll look up really quick while you talk about the Braves bets.
Okay, I did just look up the game log too. When he came back from injury, that's when he worked out of the bullpen. He worked as a starter for the first 2 months through May 22nd, got hurt. One start in July, got hurt again, came back in September, worked out of the bullpen. So yeah, just got off to a really great start. But bats are really the story here. Like
Matz is an attackable pitcher. For what it's worth. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested, and St. Louis desperately needs him to be good. Their pitching
87 pitches last time out. He threw 6 innings against the Yankees in his last spring training start.
Yeah, like Flaherty is not right. Michaelis got beat up. Wainwright's on the IL. Like St. Louis desperately needs him to be good. So I mean, not saying they're going to push him, but they could use a good start for sure. And Woodford is just not a big league starter. Atlanta bats, you can certainly play them as well, regardless of my interest in Matz, because they are super talented. Acuna crushes lefties, Riley crushes lefties, Albies crushes lefties. Olson is very fine in lefty-lefty matchups. Darnell is a great option at a catcher. Murphy is way too cheap. I like the Atlanta stack more than I like Matz. I'm just saying Matz as a mid-7K range pitcher might be in play if I don't have anybody cheaper, but Atlanta bats are my preferred target in the spot.
Yeah, Atlanta is so good. Even if Matz like is going to pitch to that caliber, I mean, this lineup's just so good. Acuna, Riley, Darnell, Albies, Ozuna, like just, you know, they probably end up like DH in like Murphy or Darnell here. So they get like, I mean, you get two catchers with both of them hit left-handed pitching really well. Yeah, I mean, they are going to be a very tough team this season against left-handed pitching. And from what night before, like looking at the weather, like this is going to be one of the better weather like hitting games on the slate too, which is always kind of nice. So I read earlier today that Luplo got designated, so don't expect him in the lineup.
They recalled Juan Yepez, who could get the start against a lefty here. He's 2,700. I was just looking at that.
Yep. So there you go. All right. St. Louis. I mean, I think we're both kind of on the Cardinals here. We get a pitcher that seems like command. I mean, anytime you have an above average command pitcher, it's always kind of scary to stack if you're not expecting a lot of walks. But I think this is a spot where I'm just going to kind of trust the talent here for St. Louis and all these right-handed power bats and just play these guys. Goldschmidt, Arenado, Contreras, like that is a power three if you ever wanted to talk about a power three against left-handed pitching.
Yeah, absolutely. And then like Tyler O'Neill and Jordan Walker looming as well, both guys with massive power. This Cardinals,
I think the problem really quick though, I think the problem with O'Neill is like, if you're getting Goldschmidt, Arenado, and Contreras, like you're going to need some value.
Yeah, agree. And you were talking about Luplow, who was DFA'd for Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Yepez was a Cardinals guy I was looking into when you were talking about that. I was only half paying
attention. I know, you threw me off. I was like, he plays on the other side.
Yeah, I was reading the note that Yepez was just recalled, and dude was really good against lefties last year. He's 2,700. So we were just talking about needing some value to fit Goldie and Arenado, who we definitely want to play, and Contreras, who is honestly a little bit underpriced. Like, he probably should be 5K, and he's 4,400. Matchup against a lefty. You've got Yepez down here at 2,700 and Walker at 2,400. One of those guys is going to be in the lineup for sure. I will play both of them if they are both in the lineup. Edmund's probably a little pricier than I want to play. And then I don't know what Dodd's splits project to be. So we'll just see how the Cardinals line up as far as the lefties go. Wouldn't expect Gorman in the lineup. Donovan is iffy, 50-50, I would say. But I think Walker at 2,400 is a phenomenal play.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of works too. Like Goldschmidt, Arenado, Contreras, catcher, first base, third base, and then getting these two cheap outfielders potentially. Lineup construction wise is really nice. I would assume Yepes and Walker both start. Wouldn't shock me. I mean, there's plenty of positions kind of looking at who's potentially in and out here. So, I mean, St. Louis potentially roster construction and matchup sets up really well. And if the weather is going to be nice, I mean, might be a fantastic spot for, yeah.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
All right, we got Baltimore and Texas. Baltimore and Texas, Wells against Heaney, 8.5 total. The Rangers, a 142 favorites. Or no, Gibson, right? Kyle Gibson's pitching for Baltimore today. Any interest here in Kyle Gibson?
Nope. Like, he's cheap, but there's just not a lot of upside. I would rather take it. Kikuchi's the same price. I'd rather watch him get blown up than try to find 15 points from Kyle Gibson.
Yeah, and Bradish didn't. It was, he got hit with a line drive or something, right? Left the game super early. So, like, this bullpen is kind of gassed. So I think we're going to see, like, Gibson get a pretty long leash here. So, like, if you wanted to take some tournament shots on him and hope that he just kind of has a really good outing, I wouldn't be shocked, like, if he's pitching well, if he goes really deep into this game. So, I mean, if you want to play that angle, sure. Probably not going to personally. Heaney on the other side. Baltimore is going to be really good this season against right-handed pitching, but I don't know if they're going to be that good against left-handed pitching. Like, are they going to play Mullins? Are they going to play Henderson even against lefties? They don't have a lot of platoon guys on the bench. Like, I think this is a spot, like, Heaney could potentially get like 3 or 4 lefties in this lineup. And Santander's good and Mountcastle's good, but I mean, the rest of these guys kind of struggle against lefties. I think this might be a sneaky good spot for Heaney. And he was one of the pitchers at the beginning that I was talking about that I really liked today.
Love that call. Massive strikeout rate, 8,900. Like, who knows how deep he goes? He never had a very long leash with the Angels or the Dodgers, Both of those teams are notorious for limiting pitching, though. I have no idea what the plan for Texas is, but the one thing I do know is Heaney has a massive strikeout rate. There are strikeouts in this Baltimore lineup. You made good points about a lot of their hitters being better against righties than lefties. Like Rutschman is even better, like switch hitter, but better as a hitter from the left side. So Heaney being left-handed depletes this really talented lineup. Gunnar Henderson's left-handed. Mullen's left-handed, like you said. I agree. This is a sneaky good spot for Heaney. And this Texas ballpark, when they close the roof, is a pretty pitcher-friendly park too. So I like this spot for Heaney quite a bit.
Yeah, and like so if you look at his spring numbers, they were atrocious. He was terrible in the spring. But I read multiple reports like this dude was really just kind of working on his changeup in the spring. I mean, Heaney's 31 years old. When he's healthy, he's very talented. If he's really like putting in the work on this changeup and like potentially incorporating another pitch into his arsenal, I think that just kind of helps him. So I'm willing to overlook his spring numbers a little bit. I mean, he's always been like just this fastball slider kind of guy. If he adds a changeup and it's effective, man, he is someone that I'm going to be playing a lot this year. So I think this is a good spot to maybe potentially get ahead on that. I want to see the lineup, obviously, but I mean, if he gets three or four lefties here with the strikeout upside, I think this is even a spot if he only goes like 80 pitches. I still want the potential of like the 6 to 8 strikeouts on the slate.
Love it.
Baltimore bats. I don't really have a ton of interest. Santander is good from the right side of the plate. Mountcastle was. He did not have a good year last year from the right side. They just don't have a lot of power from the right side. So, I mean, Santander as a one-off at 4,700 is kind of expensive. So, I think if I'm maybe like playing, if I end up playing Heaney, maybe I build a hedge stack, but that's probably the only way that I'm getting Baltimore exposure here.
Yeah, I don't love it, but I do have a little interest. Santander is the one. Mountcastle is fine. Austin Hayes is okay at 3,600. Ramon Urias, if he's in the lineup at 3,500, probably will with the being a platoon guy. I'm not full stacking him here, but I don't hate trying to find a couple of home runs here. Like Santander or Mountcastle going yard would not surprise me at all.
Texas bats against Gibson. There's not a ton of power in this lineup. The top end of the lineup, I think you could maybe build like a secondary stack with like Simeon Seager, Lowe, Garcia, Young. But I mean, I'm not going to go out of my way to stack Texas here.
Yeah, Gibson's a solid pitcher. He's just not a guy I like to use in DFS because he doesn't have the strikeouts. But he does have good command. He generally keeps the ball on the ground. Not a great guy to stack against. I think you could do a three-man if you wanted to. Seager, I like the price on him quite a bit. Nate Lowe at 4,100 is fine. Heim is a cheap catching option at 2,700. Yeah, I mean, that's probably the pool I would pick from, and it wouldn't be more than a three-man for me.
All right, moving on. We got Detroit at Houston. This game has a 7.5 total. The Astros are a 295 favorite in this one. Manning against Valdez. We'll go Manning first. Any interest here in Manning at 6,300?
Nope.
Listen, there's going to be times this year that I'm going to be okay with playing pitchers against Houston. I don't think this lineup is as good as it has been in the years past, but that is not going to be Manning for me. Anyway, low strikeout guy, 18%, swinging strike rate around 9.3%. He does everything he can, just tries to limit power, and he's not even that great at that. 41% hard hits last season. So I think this is a really tough spot for him. We're going to talk about Alvarez and Tucker and some other guys on the other side of this game, but no real interest for me in him. Valdez on the other side of this game, 85 pitches in his first outing this season. Solid game, not great, solid. 9,900, assuming that he gets like a 5 to 10 pitch bump and he gets a matchup with Detroit. Detroit off, for what it's worth, Detroit strikes out way more against right-handed pitching than they do against left-handed pitching. I think I like Valdez. With that said, I definitely like Shane Bieber more, and I want to know what we're looking at ownership-wise on Valdez. Is he going to be like massive chalk because he's getting Detroit? Valdez is like a guy that tries to generate ground balls. He's not a huge strikeout guy. He can have strikeout games, but if he's like massive chalk because he's facing Detroit, I might end up underweight on him.
I don't think he'll be popular. I might be wrong.
Then I might have more interest in him.
Max and Bieber are certainly more owned. Bieber's got Oakland, so there's no way people are playing Valdez over Bieber. And Luis Castillo underneath him, I think, gets more ownership too, despite a little bit of a tougher matchup. I don't know what to do with this price on Valdez because I don't think that he has much upside here. But if Bieber and Castillo fail, he might be the guy. I think too much of his value is tied to him going deep into a game, and I can't see him throwing 105 pitches in the spot. And therefore, I think 9,900 is a little bit too expensive. He's a guy that actually paid off his price more than I ever thought he would last year because of how deep he was going into games. I don't, maybe that burns me again in this spot. I just think that there are at least three other guys in this range that I would rather play. Not sure I can get to Valdez. If he was 8,900, same price as Heaney, I think that would be a viable pivot, but 9,900, just a little bit too much with a low 20 strikeout guy.
We definitely saw his upside last season towards the end of the year. Like his strikeouts kind of climbed. Like he's capable of big games. Like, so, I mean, if he is kind of overlooked here, I mean, my initial thought was like he was going to be popular, but if he is going to be overlooked, I mean, maybe this is a spot I actually like him. I think that he's a good play. I'm worried about the ownership and upside, but if he's going to come in a little bit lower, then maybe I take some shots on him. And he's certainly someone that, like on FanDuel, that you have to like the win and the quality start type of upside from him today. Bats, I got nothing on Detroit, man. Baez is good against lefties, but he is not great, and that he's really the only guy that I would even consider taking shots on. And he's a massive ground ball hitter against a ground ball pitcher. Just no chance for me.
Yeah, no thanks on Detroit.
Houston, on the other hand, I have some interest in Houston today. I think they're one of the top stacks on the slate. This game has a low total because of Valdez facing Detroit, but I mean, Houston's in a fantastic spot, you know, whether it be Alvarez or Tucker or Bregman. Hensley is someone that had some pop towards the end of last year when he got called up and played. A lot of interest here in Houston. It's just they're priced up. I mean, if you're going to get Tucker and Alvarez, you're going to pay for them. Making the stack work is really kind of dependent on, like, is Hensley going to be in there at 2,900 and you can potentially play him at, like, second base? Do I pair, like, a cheap catcher with them? It'd be really interesting to see what this lineup looks like and how we kind of approach a stack, but I definitely have them as a team I want to stack here.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's, like, Alvarez is the top target here. Tucker is probably going to be buried in the 5 or 6 hole, which makes paying $5,500 for him really tough. He's an amazing hitter. I love him as a player, but just I can't pay $5,500 for a guy hitting fifth. Abreu at $4,400, I think, very much in play. Like the Hensley call as value. If it's not Hensley, it could be Dubon, who is $2,300 and has solid speed. Maybe not quite the power of Hensley, but he does have speed. I think he's in play. And then Corey Jolks is a guy who has played a little bit. I have no idea if he's going to be in the lineup, but pretty solid prospect. He's 2,100. I would have interest if he cracks the lineup.
Cleveland at Oakland, Bieber and Sears. This game is currently at a 6.5 total. The Guardians are a 205 favorites. Let's talk Bieber, man. Plesic obviously put a huge bad taste in my mouth. Oakland came out and just did whatever they wanted to him in that inning that he threw. Did not pitch well. You have to play DFS, right? You have to just go to the next day and not think about what happened the day before as far as pitching and just say, Shane Bieber is one of the best pitchers and this is a fantastic spot against one of the worst offenses in baseball. And I should be targeting him. That's how I'm going to approach it, Keith. I mean, he looked really solid in his first outing. His strikeout stuff wasn't like fantastic, but I mean, a matchup with Oakland definitely helps that. Seattle is a team that's not like a huge strikeout team. It doesn't seem to be anyway. Through 87 pitches, I mean, 90, 95 pitches here against Oakland. I have him as my number one pitcher on the slate today.
Yeah, love the matchup. And also, Shane Bieber and Zach Plesac are not comparable talents. So I don't care what they did to Zach Plesac. It was also really good hitting weather in Oakland, like for as far as hitting weather can be good in Oakland, in one of the best pitchers' parks in baseball. So maybe keep an eye on that. But Shane Bieber is not Zach Plesac. Fantastic matchup here for all the reasons we were targeting Plesac on Monday night. Just times that by two, because you have an actual good pitcher here in Shane Bieber. The strikeout stuff does concern me a little bit, but like you said, the matchup here elevates that to make him viable at 10-5. I think there's going to be plenty of times this year where Bieber's over 10K and he's sitting with a 23% K rate on the season and we're passing on him. On this slate, though, with this matchup, I'm all about it. I think this is a great spot for him.
All right. The other side of this game is JP Sears. Any interest in him here?
I think there's some talent here. Just Cleveland is not a team I'm going to play many pitchers against the entire season. Like, just don't strike out. They work counts. They get walks. They're active on the bases. Just a really, really pesky team. Hard for a pitcher to have a good outing. Sears is still pretty raw, too. I don't think this is the spot to take a chance on him.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has talked about this guy and, like, his command and, like, how much potential he has. And, like, we just haven't seen it yet. And, like you mentioned, this is a pesky team. Low strikeout rates, depending on who's in and out of this lineup. I don't have any interest. Like, he really hasn't shown, like, the ability to go out and have, like, big, strong, like, ceiling games yet anyway. So I don't want to play Sears in this spot. Man, this college basketball game is getting interesting. You guys watching – what's up, YouTube? You guys watching this college basketball game? It went from, like, a, like, 15-point game to, like, a 6-point game. It went, like, how crazy March Madness has been. It would be, like, the perfect fitting ending, like, San Diego State coming back from, like, 15 points to win. They're on, like, a 9-0 run right now.
Nice. Yeah, it's been an amazing tournament, the whole thing. But from the first day of games through the championship, just been awesome.
Cleveland Bats, any interest here against Sears?
Tough park. Again, like if the weather looks good again, maybe I take some shots here. I'm going to have way more interest stacking Cleveland this year than I did last year, just because they're an on-base and speed team more than they are a power team. And I think that plays better in DFS this year than it has in past years. I also think that they're generally better against right-handed pitching. I don't hate a shot on like an Andrés Giménez. What's the outfielder's name I'm looking for? Oscar Gonzalez is 3,500. I don't hate that. Probably wouldn't be more than a three-man. Obviously, Jose Ramirez is a guy you can play against anybody. Ahmed Rosario is priced up. I don't love that. So Giménez, Oscar Gonzalez, Mike Zunino as a cheap catcher with some power against lefties. Don't hate that. Probably just a three-man. I don't think I'm full stacking him, though.
The one thing that you can like say about Rosario, though, is he has like jack in a bag upside. He has that like stolen base plus home run type of upside, and he should hit right at the top of the order, probably second behind Kwan. Yep. Oakland side of this game, I got nothing, man. I know what they did yesterday. I get it. I mean, I understand. Like, I was very heavy on Plesac. He was my second highest owned pitcher, so like, I get it. Completely different spot. You got to think about that one yesterday and move on.
Yeah, they don't have the upside to win the slate, especially against Bieber. Like, they're not even going to win the slate against Plesac, even blowing him up. How many slates are Detroit or Oakland going to win this year? Not very many. So I'm definitely not trying it against Bieber.
Handful at most. All right. We got LA at Seattle. This game has piqued my interest right now. Seattle scoring some runs here in the bottom of the fifth, which is nice. We got Suarez and Castillo facing off today. Seven total. This game is at a 164. It opened at 7.5. It got pulled down to 7. And for anyone that watched or listened to the show yesterday, Will owes me some jelly beans. Rasmussen definitely outscored Dietmers. Dietmers did have 7 Ks, which was Will's argument. He had some strikeouts. But yeah, he owes me some jelly beans. All right. Going to Suarez first. I mean, any interest in Suarez here?
Not a ton. I think Seattle's a good offense, especially against lefties. Like Julio Teoscar and Ty France, like, and Eugenio Suarez, like Pollock, like they added a couple pieces to an already solid lineup against lefties. So I can't see myself playing Suarez in this spot. 22% K rate. Just, I don't think I get there. Tough matchup.
Yeah, this lineup, I mean, it's going to be very close to the same lineup that we saw against Dietmers, and it was just a lineup that I was already excited for going in, and, I mean, Suarez is definitely a traditional splits guy. He struggles more against righties than he does lefties, and I think this is a spot I have more interest in the Seattle bats than I do in Suarez. Castillo on the other side, any interest in Castillo here going up against the Angels?
Yeah, I do. Not a great decision, not a great first time out, I don't think, if I'm remembering correctly. But Castillo is like the ace of the staff right now. Like he's going to be their horse. The Angels are a solid
offense. He had a great outing his first time out, by the way.
Okay, my bad. I was thinking of somebody else then.
Happens to the best of us.
Yeah, but like when he came over at the deadline last year, like he was just awesome for this team down the stretch. He seems to be finally putting it together. He's a guy that's always had great stuff. But just struggled with the command, pitched in a really tough ballpark in Cincinnati, moving out here to the Northwest in Seattle, where the home runs are not going to be near as much of an issue. He could take a massive step forward. The Angels are a good offense, not a great offense, and there's plenty of strikeouts in there. Like even Trout and Ohtani can have their share of strikeouts. So I think despite there being a little bit of risk for him getting beat up a little bit, like he also has massive strikeout upside in this matchup.
I don't mind him. I think he's an okay play today. I think everything you said is correct. Nothing you said was wrong. For me, I worry about the upside. He was pitching phenomenal in that game against Cleveland, and he threw 76 pitches. So that's concerning at 9,500. You know, if he gets a 10-15 pitch bump here, he's in play. I think it's really, for me, like, I have interest in Marquez coming up. He's in this price range, and I want to kind of see, like, what Heaney, Marquez, Valdez, you know, like, this range, Castillo, like, this range is just what we're looking at ownership-wise here, is kind of what, like, my initial thoughts are. Because, I mean, there's not a ton of strikeouts in this lineup. And that's always a concern for me when you're facing the Angels. Like, yeah, Trout, like you said, Trout and Ohtani, they strike out. But, like, you're talking about, Trout, who has the highest strikeout rate last season of anybody. And also, like, in the back of your head is, like, hey, when he's healthy, he's the best hitter in baseball kind of thing.
Yeah, that's certainly fair. But, like, they added Renfro. Drury will strike out a little bit, not a huge strikeout guy. Like, Ward strikes out a fair amount. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Yeah, the Urshela's low. Drury's pretty low. Rengifo's low. So, I get what you're saying. Like, the bottom of the order, but there's not really a power threat there. So, I don't know. If he can get through the big guys with strikeouts and then cruise through the bottom, he can go pretty deep in this game, I think.
No, I don't disagree with you, but how dare you say that Jake Lamb's not a power guy? any but he's interest also in the Angels
strikeout guy?
Yeah, any interest
and,
in
the and Angels Rendon is suspended, so we know he's not going to be in the lineup.
Yeah, four games, three games. Yep, after.
Four games.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
As he should have been. You can't do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Angels bats. What do you got?
Nothing for me. Over 6K for Trout and Ohtani. Not trying to chase that against a really solid pitcher.
I'm never going to tell you not to play Trout and Ohtani. It's a tougher matchup. They're expensive. Not my favorite spot. But I'm never going to say don't play those guys because their ceiling is just incredibly high. They're like a handful of people in baseball that like legitimately can hit 3 or 4 home runs on any given night. And like, they're both in that category. So,
yep.
All right. Seattle Bats. Again, I kind of have some interest here in the Seattle Bats. They're a team that I ended up playing quite a bit on Monday. I like Teoscar, Suarez. We just had a scenario in the bottom of the fifth inning where Pollock was up with first and third, 2 outs in a 1-run game, and they didn't pitch it for him when a righty came in. So, I mean, that is really nice to see. What are your thoughts here on the Seattle Bats?
Yeah, I think they set up really well here. I think Suarez is a decent pitcher, but not a great pitcher. I love all the righties here. Obviously, Julio, Teoscar, Ty France at 5K is like, that's a tough price, but I'd still include him in a stack. I'm fine with that. Love Suarez at 4,400, big power against lefties. Hopefully Raleigh's in the lineup. He did get a price bump up to 3,500. Pollock at 3,400. Absolutely love it. I mean, other than pricing, that's the only thing I'll say is like France and Hernandez are a little more pricey than I would want them to be, but I think they're still playable for sure. I like the prices on Suarez, Raleigh, and Pollock.
Yeah, I forgot. Like, Raleigh wasn't even in the lineup.
Yep.
He was in my placeholder lineup. I was bummed that he wasn't in the lineup. So, happens. All right, we finish it out. We're here. We're done. 11 games. We're getting faster. Not an hour and a half anymore. Rockies, Dodgers. We got Marquez and Urias. 7.5. 275 Dodger favorite here. Talk to me here. Any interest in Herman Marquez?
I think we talked about this last time in his first start. Like, he's a better pitcher than he showed last year. Just 9,100 against the Dodgers feels a little bit too much, but you sounded like you might have some interest. So I really want to hear your thoughts. I think he's playable. I just don't love the price tag. What you got for me?
I mean, he's a good pitcher.
Yeah,
when he's not in Coors, he's a good pitcher. He had a good spring. He had a really solid first outing. The top end of this lineup is good. Don't get me wrong. Betts, Freeman, Smith, Muncy. But, like, JD hasn't shown any type of upside in the last year and a half. As a Red Sox fan, I watched it firsthand. David Peralta, he had some strikeouts here. Like, and then you get to the bottom. Like, we have no idea what to really expect from, like, Altman. Rojas isn't, like, a power guy. Vargas isn't a power guy. So, like, if Marquez can come in here and just kind of limit the damage against like the first 4 guys, I think he has some strikeout upside. And like, you know, Muncy's kind of banged up right now, and Muncy's a guy that strikes out at like a 25-26% clip. So tournament wise, no one is playing Marquez today. So if you're playing large field tournaments, I think he has to be in your player pool today. I think that he's going to be overlooked because he's Herman Marquez, and he's going to be overlooked because it's the Dodgers. And this is just not the same Dodgers team that we're used to for the last 3 or 4 years.
Definitely agree that the offense is weaker than we're used to. And I do agree that Marquez is a very solid pitcher with strikeout upside, especially out of Coors. So I think you made some really good points. Just spend up on Framber Valdez and Herman Marquez and win all the money, right?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how it plays out. I like Heaney too. Like, I could see myself using some like Marquez, like Heaney, like combos, and just chasing like straight up chasing strikeout upside. And someone in chat, Dave in chat, just said that Marquez is 7.8K on FanDuel. That is a phenomenal price.
Definitely get behind that. Yep.
Because I mean, he went 6 innings. He had a quality start his first time out. So I mean, like, that was against San Diego. He had a really solid outing. He threw 87 pitches. Like, we already know that, like, he could potentially throw like 90, 95 pitches. I mean, no walks in that game, 5 strikeouts. Give me that kind of outing here. I think that he's worth taking some tournament shots on. Definitely like him on FanDuel at that price.
Yeah, I do too. And with Scherzer and Bieber on the slate, I don't know how many people are going down for him. So potentially a fantastic FanDuel play.
See how it works out. I mean, yep. you can only do so much. I mean, like, Bieber, Scherzer, these guys are really expensive on FanDuel. I think just kind of looking really fast, Marquez and Heaney are kind of in that price range where I really like them on FanDuel. So Heaney is 8,800 on FanDuel. All right. The other side. Do you have any interest here in Urias?
Yeah, he's a little pricey too. Another really good pitcher. And Colorado is not a great offense, but they just don't strike out a ton versus lefties. We're talking about, do I want to play Urias or Max Scherzer? Like, that's the range that he's in. So it's a tough call. I think there's a chance. It's a small chance. There's a chance he could be the highest scoring pitcher on the slate. I don't know if it's over 5%, which means I don't know that I get to him in a lineup.
Yeah, I want to. So I think he's really interesting depending on like who's in the lineup. I mean, two of the better right-handed hitters in this lineup, Grichik and Rogers, are out right now. So, I mean, you obviously got Bryant and you got CJ Cron, but I mean, where else are they going to platoon? Like, they're going to have a couple lefties in this lineup. Some of the righties they're going to put in here are not going to be like big power guys. CJ Cron is a good power hitter, but he also strikes out at a huge clip. So, and like, this lineup might not come out until like right before lock. So like, this might be a spot, like, again, like large field tournament, both of these pitchers in large field tournaments might be really, really solid options today. With that said, I don't really have a ton of interest in the bats in this game. Is there something that like I'm missing here?
No, that's definitely not on the Colorado side. I know Cron has been on fire to start the year, but he's 5,800.
It's a lefty. No,
yeah, but still, no thanks.
no, I'm out.
Has there been any runs scored in that Dodgers game, by the way? I was really curious about those wins and what they were going to do.
Dodgers are up 2-0 in the fifth.
Okay, so it is pretty low scoring.
Oh, no, it's 4-2. It was 2-0. I didn't. The Rockies scored 4 runs in the top of the fifth.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, 5,800 for Cron, a little too much for me to want to take shots on it. Really no interest in chasing anybody else against Urias. Dodgers side, I'd be hunting home runs against Marquez, not stacking against him. Think he's a pretty solid pitcher, but he can give up some power. So Muncy, I don't know, that price at 4,700 is not something I love. Freeman at 5,700, I think, is certainly in play. It's a big price for a one-off, but he could hit 2 home runs in this spot.
Yeah, I mean, Outman, any of the top maybe? 4. Any of the What's top that? 4. I was just going to say any of the top 4.
Yeah, for sure. I think I prefer targeting a lefty, though. Yeah, just don't love it. It'd be one-offs only.
All right, let's play the morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here. If you're hanging out with us in YouTube, feel free to play along. Under 8K to get 6 or more strikeouts, who do you got today?
I'm going to do something probably dumb. It's probably going to cost me money today. Yusei Kikuchi, 6,700 against the Kansas City Royals.
I like it. I don't think it's that crazy. I'm going to go Fleming. I'm just going to play the Washington's not good card. Over 8K to score under 15. Who is your bust today?
Your boy. Sorry about it. Nick Pivetta.
I mean, I wouldn't be sorry. He is clearly the name up here that I will have no interest in, and I'm gonna stay in the same kind of range here and kind of take a cop out and say Wade Miley. These are the two guys. Like, I could see playing anybody over these two guys. I could see playing Heaney. I could see playing Marquez, Castillo, Valdez, Urias, Bieber, Scherzer. Like, I could see playing all those guys. So if I'm looking at Pivetta and Miley, I'm like, I'm going to go down to Kikuchi, Mats, like someone down here, Fleming. Yeah. Over 4K to hit a home run. Who do you got?
Give me Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He absolutely destroys left-handed changeups. And Chris Bubich throws a lot of them.
Bubich! Gotta love picking on Bubich. Listen, this guy's he's off to a slow start, and I don't know. I'm going to switch. I was going to say someone. I'm going to switch. I'm going to go Yordan Alvarez. Why did I need just lock that in? Great spot for him today. Under 4K to get 2 hits. Who do you got today?
Everybody came out of the gate wanting to play this guy, and he's kind of disappointed so far. Still 2,500. Super prospect Jordan Walker gets a lefty today. I love him in this spot.
Yeah, great price. I like him a lot today as well. I'm going to go cheap as well. 3,400. Brandon Lau. He's just someone that I think you really want to get some exposure to. I know he hasn't been like great so far. I know the upside that he's capable of, and he's too cheap. So give me a stack for six or more runs today.
I'm sticking with my nemesis, the Cardinals. I see Dave in chat there with the Wilson Contreras home run call. I like the call. I was on the Cardinals on Monday night. They failed me. I'm going right back to them. Another really good spot for them. And their offense is legit. I think their pitching sucks and they're not going to be good. Just kidding. They're going to be good. They're going to win plenty of games, but that offense has potential to be the top offense in the game.
Yeah. I'm going to go Toronto today. I like your call with St. Louis. I like Toronto. I think it's a good spot. Really like Pittsburgh again today. Really like Pittsburgh. I really like Pittsburgh, Boston, that whole game. I think it's a really interesting game. Is there any bets or fantasy pick 'em plays or any props? Anything standing out to you here?
We've got Derek in the chat too. He's a Cardinals fan too. Like, come on, we need to get some. Like, I love you guys. Thanks for hanging out, but too many Cardinals fans around here.
If you guys don't know, Keith's a huge, huge Cubs fan. So bring on the Cardinals love.
Sorry, me, right? Bets. I didn't really see anything that I was like jumping on right away. Let me take a look here real quick. I didn't have anything prepared. If you got something, go ahead. I'll try to come up with something on the fly here.
You could get, okay. So, I mean, this is a little risky, but you know, kind of talking about one of the games that I thought was kind of mispriced a little bit. Corbett Carroll just hit a home run, by the way. The Rockies, you can get the Rockies plus 1.5 run line at even money right now. And I think this is going to be a really close competitive game. And I don't mind getting that run line at plus 1.5 at even money.
Good deal. Let's see here. And I was looking at the over in Pittsburgh, Boston. It's up to 9.
It's up to 9. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't hate it.
If you can like sneak out an 8.5 in that. Yeah, like,
exactly. I think what I was going to say.
Really interesting. So
yeah, I would like it over 8.5. 9 is tough. Let's see. What is St. Louis money line? Minus 125. All right. That's on WinBet. It's 132 on FanDuel, 140 on BetMGM. I do like the Cardinals money line.
All right. There you go. That's going to wrap it up here for Tuesday. We'll be back Wednesday talking more baseball. Thank you for hanging out. We'll see you all again tomorrow.